Bloomberg Radio News.
I think that what makes sense for the country is a more moderate pace of legal immigration and enforcement of our immigration laws.
Immigration reform may again be on the front burner. We'll look at what both sides want. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Tuesday, February 8th, 2011. I'm Sarah Erickson. The preliminary hearing in the Bell City corruption case resumed today in Los Angeles County Superior Court. Six current and former officials are accused of stealing more than $1 million from taxpayers by creating fake government agencies to collect salaries for doing nothing. Former city manager Robert Rizzo will stand trial separately, along with former assistant manager Angela Spaccia. The accused are being referred to as the Bell Eight. As Mark Shore reports, the only council member not charged with a crime testified today against his former colleagues.
Bell City Councilman Lorenzo Velez took the stand today in what's being called the largest case of public corruption in California. Velez testified that former city manager Robert Rizzo pretty much ran the city and that he required authorization for nearly everything the council did. In his testimony, Velez said he had no idea what his colleagues were earning until he read about it in the LA Times. The article showed the accused council members were making nearly $100,000 a year for part-time work. Velez testified that he only made about $600 a month. He also said they created commissions and collected money for serving on them, despite not actually doing any work. Prosecutor Edward Miller referred to Bell's Solid Waste Authority as a solid waste of money. The prosecution asked Velez about a closed-door session where he questioned the other council members about their salaries. Judge Henry J. Hall stopped that line saying, quote, "I don't want to unlock any doors that should not be unlocked," end quote. The defense contends that Velez knew much more than he admits and will attempt to undermine his testimony on Thursday. All defendants are out on bail except for Victor Bello, who sat in the courtroom handcuffed in an orange jumpsuit. The defendants turned down a plea bargain yesterday, which would have put them in prison for 2 years along with paying restitution. Testimony in the preliminary hearing is expected to last through Thursday. Judge Hall will then decide if there's enough evidence to try the six defendants. For Annenberg Radio News, I'm Mark Shore.
An LAPD officer is recovering from slight injuries this afternoon after a small explosion went off in a car he was searching. The officer was looking through the car around this morning in Leimert Park. It had been reported stolen. He reached for a white substance in the glove compartment, which he thought was drugs, when it exploded. The bomb squad was called and determined it was fuseless firecrackers. Angelenos could soon be seeing streetcars ferrying across downtown's busiest streets. AEG CEO Tim Lewicki and members of the LA City Council proposed a new form of transportation. They hope it will increase city revenues and downtown traffic. To the local businesses, Tanner Keith has more on the new transportation system funded by the private and public sectors.
Larger than a bus, but smaller than a train, the downtown LA streetcar effort took a huge leap forward today. Results from a study showed that the new project will create thousands of jobs, more than $1 billion in new development, and millions more in revenue from tourism and consumer spending. LA City Council member Jose Huizar says the project would benefit Los Angeles with these revenues.
In this economic times, how could we say no to this small investment that will bring so many jobs, economic development activity, and connect all of downtown to make it a tourist destination and also for Angelenos to enjoy?
The $125 million project will run along a four-mile system 7 days a week for 18 hours a day. LA Live is one of the proposed destinations for the streetcar. AEG's Tim Lewicki spoke about the streetcar plan's overall importance to the city.
This would be a vision that would connect all of downtown and suddenly give us an infrastructure so that we could go after every major convention, every major event, and bring it to downtown LA.
The downtown LA streetcar is expected to be ready for construction within 5 years. Tanner Keith, Annenberg Radio News.
Jane Harman made it official today. She announced she will resign her House seat in a few weeks to become the next head of the Woodrow Wilson International Center for Scholars. When she vacates the seat, Governor Jerry Brown will have 2 weeks to ask voters to select a candidate. If no one receives a majority of the votes in the special election, the top two will be pitted against each other in a separate election. The 36th district spans from West Carson to Manhattan Beach and has belonged to a Democrat for years. L.A. City Councilwoman Janice Hahn, Secretary of State Deborah Bowen, and Republican Maddie Fine have announced interest in the seat. And the high-speed rail may be getting a shot in the arm. President Barack Obama is calling for a spending plan for high-speed rail, which could be a big boost for California.
Vice President Joe Biden and Transportation Secretary Raymond LaHood unveiled Obama's $53 billion plan to fund rail development during the next 6 years. The California High-Speed Rail Authority is planning to connect all the state's major cities along an 800-mile rail system. The tracks will run through San Diego, Los Angeles, Fresno, and the Bay Area upon completion, with trains traveling over 200 miles per hour. Despite the nation's current economic situation and the hefty investment backing this project, High-Speed Rail Authority spokesperson Rachel Wall is optimistic that it will spark job creation.
California's High-Speed Rail Project is estimated to create tens of thousands of jobs just in the near term. You know, we're looking at pumping about $5 billion into the California Central Valley economy and utilizing many workers to create the infrastructure system there, to construct it. And of course, there will be indirect job benefits as well by redeveloping downtown areas that are in need of revitalization and moving goods and people faster.
In addition to potentially stimulating California's economy, Wall says the rail system will provide a cleaner, sustainable travel alternative.
The high-speed rail system that we're planning here in California will be an electrically powered train. Our board is committed to a 100% renewable and sustainable energy commitment so that we can promote renewable and sustainable energy sources and put energy back into the grid.
Construction is scheduled to start in 2012. The first segment of the rail will run from Fresno to Bakersfield and is projected to cost $43 billion. Funding appears to be fully accounted for at this point, with a voter-approved bond, federal grants, and public-private partnerships.
In 2008, the issue was brought to taxpayers and voters, and they voted for a $9 billion bond measure to spark California's high-speed rail project. And in 2010 alone, we were awarded more money than any state in the nation, receiving over $3 billion in federal grants.
California is truly leading the way in the development of high-tech, traffic-free transportation.
Okay, now you have to say Julia Dang.
Julia Dang, Annenberg Radio News.
Good.
It's February, and that means wintry weather in Southern California, at least by our standards. Tonight, expect clear skies and a little wind with temperatures in the low 40s. Tomorrow, we'll bring sunny skies and a Santa Ana breeze with highs in the mid to low 70s, and you can expect much the same on Thursday as well. Tomorrow night, temperatures stay in the mid 40s beneath clear skies. Later on Annenberg Radio News, local high schoolers get a taste of what it takes to be a real doctor. The House of Representatives is debating a 9-month extension of surveillance tools in the USA Patriot Act. The law was enacted after September 11th to prevent domestic terrorism. Congress must choose to keep or revise specific provisions dealing with everything from wiretapping to unprecedented access to library records before they expire on February 28th. But the Senate is also considering a few long-term approaches to the legislation. Critics of the Patriot Act call it an invasion of privacy, but others call it a necessary evil. Politico.com reports today that immigration reform might be in the cards, citing talks between Republican Senator Lindsey Graham and Democrat Chuck Schumer. As Britt Thorson reports, some local immigration rights groups met today to call for immigration reform.
No son animales, no son unas yeguas, son seres humanos, son niños.
We are not animals. We are humans who have rights, and our children have rights. They have the right to be in Congress someday, to run for president someday.
Helen De Leon was one of the many women calling for immigration reform at Our Lady of Angels Catholic Community Church. It was held by the Full Rights for Immigrants Coalition, but many other groups came to show their support as well. PETA Lindsay is with the Answer Coalition.
I'm here as an organizer, as a woman, and more specifically, as a Black woman, to urge Obama to keep his promise and implement comprehensive immigration reform now. Black and Latina women share common cause. When it comes to poverty statistics, infant mortality, and joblessness, women from both communities are racing to the bottom, particularly during this economic crisis.
The group's main goals are comprehensive immigration reform and an end to immigration raids. Rosa Posadas of the Full Rights for Immigrants Coalition called for overall immigration change, but with special attention to women's needs.
She said for the government to like have a conscience, to be like they were born from a woman, to not be unfair to us, because we do have rights here.
A specific problem raised was the breakup of families, of mothers and children, when undocumented immigrants are deported. The Full Rights Coalition calls for less harsh punishment for people in the country illegally and more lenient requirements for legal immigration. On the other side is Stephen Camerota, Director of Research at the Center for Immigration Studies. He believes the U.S. should limit the rights of immigrants.
Overall, what we would want is to try and have an immigration policy that doesn't flood the unskilled labor market, that doesn't create so many strains for our schools and healthcare system. And one of the main ways to do that is to bring the numbers down on both the legal and illegal side.
Camerota doesn't believe there will be any big changes made on the immigration front at the congressional level, but he is not averse to trying to reach a compromise with the community that demands reform.
Maybe one thing is we want to have an amnesty for some fraction of the illegal immigrants who are here, maybe DREAM Act recipients, and in return we reduce the number of legal immigrants coming in.
In the meantime, the Full Rights for Immigration Coalition continues to garner support for its April 16th march in downtown Los Angeles. Britt Thorson, Annenberg Radio News.
MacArthur Park is heavily populated by immigrants and cheap housing. Our reporter, Stephanie Guzman, visited an apartment complex falling apart and asked why housing in the area is hard to improve.
MacArthur Park is the landing place for immigrants in Los Angeles. The area is attractive because the rent is cheap and the neighborhood is filled with Latin American amenities. The community is also overpopulated, causing grim living conditions.
This area is no home for anybody.
Daniel Morales is an advocate for tenants' rights and has lived here for more than 21 years. He's received reports of people paying steep rent to live in a large closet and buildings infested with cockroaches and rats.
They don't have hot water. They don't have access to laundry in the buildings. They don't have heater or air conditioning. And it's getting worse.
While conditions get worse, rents go up. Families are faced with moving back to their home countries or moving in with other families, causing overcrowding. MacArthur Park is the second most densely populated community in the United States, following close behind Manhattan. The county says overcrowding is when more than two people share one room. But in this community, the average room crams more than four people. The buildings are old and deteriorating. Calling the landlord to fix something as simple as the hall light can be terrifying, because most residents here are illegal.
The cases come from intimidation from the landlord or the manager. Intimidation that I'm going to call the police on you, and I'm going to call the INS on you. Some people get arrested because they call the manager and say, I need this to be fixed.
Ignacia Osorio works with Morales. She inspects buildings that tenants report to her organization. I went with her to a small apartment complex on Rampart Boulevard, a couple blocks west of the park. We ran into one resident outside.
The problem that I had on my apartment, I've been living right there for many years,
and nobody changed the carpets, they never paint.
He declined to give us his name or be photographed, but said he's asked the building manager to fix things.
I sent many letters for him reporting about the problem that I have right there, and he just ignores.
A woman invited us into her two-bedroom apartment. She asked to remain anonymous, and like Ignacia, she only speaks Spanish. The apartment was dark and dirty. She showed us her kitchen sink that was leaking continuously. She showed us an almost unusable bathtub, a clogged sink, and mold growing above a shower. We peeked outside, where she says nobody cleans up. As we walked through a hallway, I wondered how much responsibility lies on the owner. But then she pointed to windowsills falling apart. She moved furniture to unveil huge holes in the walls. And throughout the apartment was 2 inches of exposed foundation. Outside, Osorio tells her what she thinks. Osorio tells her the building is uninhabitable. She says she's going to write a letter to the landlord. If the owner doesn't respond to the request, she'll help the woman file complaints with the housing authority. The woman, with a hand on her heart, looks relieved.
That was our reporter, Stephanie Guzman. You can find an audio slideshow of her piece on our website, annenbergradio.org. Wannabe doctors from Providence High School in Burbank got to put their skills to the test when they were trained on real surgical equipment at Providence Hospital. Stephanie McNeil visited the school yesterday to see what students were learning.
Representatives from medical supply company Covidien are on site at Providence St. Joseph's Medical Center in Burbank to train doctors on their surgical equipment.
But now it has to fit through these little ports, right? So basically you have this long stapler that loads like this.
But these trainees aren't physicians. They are juniors and seniors from Providence High School. They are learning about surgical tools that reduce once invasive surgeries into surgeries with only one incision. And they even get to practice with the real tools. Armed with long needles, the students mimicked performing complicated surgery through a tiny mock incision on a mock stomach, relying on a TV screen to guide their tools.
Yeah, like it was just something like completely different. Like you won't, like you go to high school, like you go to school, it's like you don't expect to be practicing surgical procedures.
So it's actually kind of like a video game in a way, because you're using hand-eye coordination. I also found it entertaining because this is like what the doctors do, and the fact that I'm kind of doing or imitating what they're doing, but in a simpler way.
The students are members of Providence's Medical Focus Program. The program, which began in 1989, prepares a select group of students for careers in the medical field. The students take extra classes in the health science field and get to go on trips such as this one. 10 students were chosen to come on this trip. Arjan Herjani, who is the director of the program, says today is one of the best in the program's history.
It's the excitement that the students show on their faces. It's the engagement that they show with the procedures. It's their willingness to learn and focus.
Hospital spokeswoman Patricia Adem says the program is a big deal for the hospital as well.
We need more doctors, and they're next door training them.
Many of the students say they are planning to become doctors or nurses in the future. Stephanie McNeil, Annenberg Radio News.
Now we check in with Carolyn Vandergrift to see what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision.
Thanks for having me. We have a stacked show tonight, lots of news going on. We have the USG elections. The campaign started yesterday. There's a debate tonight between the three presidential candidates, and ATVN has full coverage of each of their platforms. In West Hollywood, a city council meeting lasted a long time last night, discussing a potential ban of smoking in public areas for West Hollywood. We talked to city council members, smokers, and residents. We'll have all that and more. Check us out, our live coverage tonight at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision. And as always, we'll be on the web at atvn.org.
Great. That's it for this Tuesday. We had help today from Carl Nickenegg, Chris Foy, our producer, Jessica Flores, executive producer. That's all from Annenberg Radio News. I'm Sarah Erickson.